hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
indeed, God is in control. Very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben, and I'll be with you from now till 9:30 p.m. God is in control. You know, this is one beautiful song. I always like the lyrics because it really speaks to the times we are in. This is a song by Twila Parry. And this is no time for fear. This is a time for faith and determination. Don't lose the vision here, carried away by the motion. Hold on to all that you hide in your heart. There is one thing that has always been true. And what is that thing? It holds the world together. God is in control. God is in control. It is one thing that has been true and will always be true. God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. God is in control. We will choose to remember and never be shaken. There is no power above or beside him. We know God is in control. History marches on. There is a bottom line drawn across the ages. Culture can make its plan. Interesting. But the line never changes. No matter how the deception may fly, there is one thing that has always been true. It will be true forever. God is in control. He has never let you down. Why start to worry now? He is still the Lord of all we see, and he is still the loving Father, watching over you and me. What a beautiful song, beautiful lyrics. That's the fact. God is in control. You know, if you look at the state of the world today, the news, the things happening, you know, some of the news I'll be talking about. I mean, you look at the news, and it's like, if you are not careful, you give up hope, you'll be filled with worry, anxiety, and, you know, you begin to question God, and fear will also be rearing its head, you'll be worried, and all. You know, this is no time to fear. This is the time to build up your faith, stand in the word, stand in prayer, trust in the Lord. You know, the truth is the truth. The things, the world is not going to get any better. So we have to strategize and know how to endure with God on our side. These are the times to build our faith. These are the times to know God better at another level. You know, these are no times to be wishy-washy Christian, you know, here a little, there a little type of thing. If you are a Christian, be a Christian. Then you can really take full advantage of God, who is in control of all that is happening. Yes, the world is shaking, a lot of things. Men think they are wiser than God, so they are doing their best. I'm going to put it that way. They want to achieve their great reset. They want to take control of the world. They want to control humanity with all their evil plans. They are doing things and they think they are succeeding. But God is in control. In all these things, God just looks from above and is like, he's laughing because he knows that the things they think they are doing, that is meant to spite he, God. At the end of the day, he is in control of all that they are doing. And they just play to the written word of God, the Bible prophecies. He has already said it, that these things will be happening. So they have planned to do these things, thinking they are doing it against God. But they don't know they are doing it against themselves. Because at the end of the day, God wins. And God is in control. So be encouraged this evening. Don't be shaken by all that is happening, the things we are hearing and all. And at the end of the day, the same God who took care of all the various things, you read the Bible, the things he did for the Israelites in the wilderness and all, it's that same God we are serving today. He has not changed. You know, there's an interesting verse. This morning I was reading the book of Daniel chapter 3, Maybe it's not, this is not even part of my plan, but as the Spirit just leads, I just follow. And Daniel 3, where is the verse? Okay, so I think Daniel 2, when after the king dreamt and they called, they were going to kill the wise men, and then Daniel brought in, prayed with his three colleagues, and then he was coming to talk to the king. And then the statement that Daniel made, I'm looking for that verse, that particular verse. Yes, Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. He says, "But there is a God in heaven." I like that phrase. I just like that phrase, that there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar, and on and on. But that phrase is what really excites me. There is a God in heaven. It doesn't matter all that is happening now on the earth, there is still a God in heaven. There is still a God in heaven. And he is in control. All that is happening, the wars, rumors of wars, the food crisis, the famine that is coming, all these things, God is still in control. So this evening, it doesn't matter how bad things are, it doesn't matter how low you've gotten to emotionally, you are just down, don't know what to do, fear is gripping you, and all, there is a God in heaven. And that God still hears prayer. That God is still in control. So talk to him. Trust in him. And everything will be well in his own way and in his own plan and time and will. All right. So let me start with some news. And a record-breaking earthquake swarm is taking place at Antarctica as sleeping volcano awakens. So a long dormant underwater volcano near Antarctica has woken up, triggering a swarm of 85,000 earthquakes. The swarm, which began in August 2020 and subsided by November of last year, is the strongest earthquake activity ever recorded in the region. And the quakes were likely caused by a finger, quote unquote, finger of hot magma poking into the crust near, according to new research findings. There have been similar intrusions in other places on Earth, but this is the first time we have observed it there. Study co-author Simon Seska, a seismologist at the GFZ, German Research Center for Geosciences in Potsdam, told Live Science. Normally, these processes occur over geologic time scales as opposed to cover the course of a human lifespan, Seska said. So in a way, we are lucky to see this. The swarm occurred around Oka Seamount, an inactive volcano that lies 2,150 feet from the seafloor in the Bransfield Strait, a narrow passage between the South Shetland Islands and northwestern tip of Antarctica. That's a huge number, 85,000 quakes. A lot is happening, a lot is happening in the world, but all these, the God who is in control said these things will happen. And these are just the beginning of things. So when we hear it, we just know where we are. Japanese encephalitis outbreak in Australia detected in dozens of pig farms, and pork supply is set to plunge. Experts say Japanese encephalitis will impact pork supply as infected piggeries experience production losses of up to 80%. Whoa. There are now 30 New South Wales piggeries affected by the mosquito-borne virus, and 11 people have been infected, with 3 deaths nationwide, according to a new report. Japanese encephalitis is endemic in other parts of the world, but it has never been seen this far south in Australia. NSW Department of Primary Industries Chief Veterinary Officer Sarah Brighton said it had been a stressful time for pig producers. They've had huge impacts on production, up to 60 to 80% of production impacted in some sites, she said. It's also the mental health impact on the people, because there's been a lot of stillborn or abortions or abnormalities in piglets, which can be very stressful seeing day in and day out. Within pig herds, abortions, stillbirths, and infertility in adults are all consequences of JEV, that's the disease. While swelling on the brain remains the most prominent among the horses. To date, there have been no official reports of disease in horses, Australian Chief Veterinary Officer Dr. Mark Shipp says, while the government is working towards vanquishing the danger, producers will need to continue to put precaution methods into practice. Last week I was saying that it just seems whenever things are normalizing, then something else, just the food supply chain is like, it's by all means something is hitting it one way, bird flu, then now you have this Japanese encephalitis. Is it so? It's like things are just coming up in various countries just to cut supplies of food from the crops and to the animals, and it's something else we are seeing. Now, to the wars and rumors of wars. We have Kim, that's the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, vows full speed ahead with nuclear program and flaunts ICBM, that's Intercontinental Ballistic Missile, which can have the U.S. mainland in range. So North Korean leader Kim Jong-un vowed on Monday to ramp up his development of nuclear arms as the military parade in Pyongyang showcased the country's most advanced weaponry yet, including an intercontinental ballistic missile, experts say puts the entire U.S. mainland in range. According to CNN, the country would strengthen the development. Its nuclear forces at the highest possible speed, Kim said, as a Hwasong-17 ICBM, multiple giant rocket launches, and a submarine-launched ballistic missile were all paraded through the streets of North Korean capital. Experts said the parade had held to mark the 90th anniversary of the founding of North Korean Army offered a glimpse into Kim's ambitions for his weapons programs, particularly his efforts to develop solid-fueled missiles that would be easier to hide from foreign spy agencies. It also offered an insight into his mindset. They said any country or force that tried to confront North Korea militarily would cease to exist, Kim said, as he described his nuclear forces as both a symbol of national power and the basis of our military power. State media photos showed Kim dressed in white military ceremonial coat, smiling and waving from a balcony along with his wife Ri Soju and other top deputies. We will continue to take measures for further developing the nuclear forces of our states at the fastest possible speed, unquote. Kim told his troops and the crowd gathered for the parade at Pyongyang Plaza, according to official Korean Central News Agency. He repeated an earlier message that the North could preemptively use the nuclear weapons when threatened by attacks, and called for his nuclear forces to be fully prepared to go in motion at any time. The fundamental mission of our nuclear forces is to deter a war, but our nukes can never be confirmed to single mission of war deterrent, even at a time when a situation we are not desirous of at all is created on this land, Kim said. if any forces try to violate the fundamental interests of our state, our nuclear forces will have to decisively accomplish its unexpected second mission, which would leave any evading forces perished, he said. And this is interesting because now full blown is no longer hiding the nuclear things again, because under Joe Biden, I mean, now all the enemies of US, they don't fear again because they know he's a weakling. He can't do anything to them. So Iran is busy doing it. North Korea is openly showing it. It changes the whole dynamics because it tells you that now the US is very weak, and the enemies of US can clearly see through a weak leader. And that's exactly what is happening. You know, after the events in Afghanistan, now they know that no. There's no need to fear US again. No, with these nuclear capabilities of North Korea, Iran also doing this, and the times ahead is something else, because all these people, North Korea, Iran, China, when the extreme gets to the extreme, they all support Russia. And that's where some of these things become an issue. Okay, so the next news, UK Defense Secretary warns that Putin could declare World War III within days. That's an interesting one. So Russian President Vladimir Putin could declare World War III in just 2 days, according to the UK Defense Secretary. And Ben Wallace said that the despot would probably attempt to mobilize the Russian people amid his failing special military operation. As for the war, there's no green war cry for them. But that's what makes it even more dangerous, because the way the thing is becoming embarrassing, and it's like, I believe we can really do a very serious move, because after all, he knows it's not going well, so he has to try and save his face. And that is where you can have some extreme moves that can turn this whole thing into an issue beyond Ukraine. And that's where the whole issue is, because the fear is you can take this thing beyond Ukraine, and once it does, it becomes a third world war. And that's a worrying trend in the times we are in. And so it's just about time. We just look at it and see whatever happens. So the next news to say is Putin cuts natural gas to two NATO nations in escalation, and so threatens to use nuclear on anyone who interferes in Ukraine. So Russia cut off natural gas to NATO members Poland and Bulgaria on Wednesday, and threatened to do the same to other countries, dramatically escalating its standoff with the West over the war in Ukraine. European leaders decried the move as blackmail. And a day after US and other Western allies vowed to speed more and heavier weapons to Ukraine, the Kremlin used its most essential export as leverage against two of Kiev's staunch backers. Gas prices in Europe shot up on the news. According to the Associated Press, the tactic could eventually force targeted nations to resort to gas rationing and could deal another blow to economies suffering from rising prices. At the same time, it could deprive Russia of badly needed income to fund its war effort. Western leaders and analysts portrayed the move by the Kremlin as a bid to both punish and divide the allies, undermining their united support of Ukraine. Poland has been a major gateway for the delivery of weapons to Ukraine, and confirmed this week that it is sending the country tanks. It also has been a vocal proponent of sanctions against the Kremlin. Meanwhile, Putin has warned he will use nuclear weapons against the West if anyone interferes in Ukraine. The threat comes as the Russian leader said the response to counterstrikes will be lightning fast. Speaking to lawmakers, he said, if someone intends to interfere in what is going on from the other side, they must know that constitutes an unacceptable strategic threat to Russia. They must know that our response to counter-strikes will be lightning fast. First, we have all the weapons we need for this. No one else can brag about these weapons, and we won't brag about them. Vladimir Putin appears to be referring to his 6 super weapons, including Russia's deadly Samat missile, dubbed Satan II, that was launched last week. The missile can fly 11,000 miles and carry 15 warheads and has the potential to destroy an area the size of France. The tyrant continued by saying Kremlin can't allow an anti-Russia to be created on Russia's historical territory, and added that Ukraine was pushed to attack Crimea and Donbass, accusing the West of using Ukrainians as expendable materials. He added that they prepared to en masse an economic war against Russia, step by step, using all kinds of pretexts and sometimes none at all to pass sanctions. So that's the threats he's giving, and that's why I was saying that these threats should not be taken lightly, because as he's being pushed down, the economy is being affected by the sanctions and all. Already he's giving a warning that all the countries giving ammunition to Ukraine, they are technically at war with him. So it's like proxy war that is going on. So he can decide to strike them at any time, at his will. And these are serious times. This headline is interesting. Economist warns world in early stages of very significant recession. Nancy Lazar, the chief global economist of investment bank Piper Sadler, said on Monday that the world is in the first part of a very significant recession. During an interview with Fox Business, Lazar told anchor Maria Bariomo that it's going to be a global recession pulling down the Eurozone in particular, and noted that it looks like China GDP in the second quarter could also be negative. Lazar added that economic activity in the U.S. will feel very, very weak as growth slows down from last year's recovery. Now, we think the U.S. could not go into recession. We have still plus 1% GDP for the U.S. this year, but that's still a very significant shutdown from roughly 6% last year, Lazar explained. She added that significant fears of a recession occurred in 2015 and 2016. U.S. economic growth was revived slightly higher in the final months of 2021, helping the nation record its best year for growth in nearly 4 decades before the highly contagious Omicron variant of the coronavirus dampened consumer spending and further strained the global supply chain. And you see, this recession thing, I mean, economists have been giving warnings in the last few weeks that there's a global recession in the works, because with what is happening in the war, the supply chain crisis, with the food pricing, the inflation and all, the world economy is on the brink. This one, I think it was BBC. Yeah, one of them, BBC, had a report this week, and this was the headline. Ukraine war to cause biggest price shock in 50 years. So is all this can cause the inflation and all these things, as the recession is really a possibility. So Ukraine war to cause biggest price shock in 50 years, according to the World Bank. The war in Ukraine is said to cause the largest commodity shock since 1970s. The World Bank has warned. In a new forecast, it said disruption caused by the conflict would contribute to huge price rises for goods ranging from natural gas to wheat and cotton. The increase in prices is starting to have very large economic and humanitarian effects, Peter Nagel, a co-author of the report, told the BBC. He said households across the world are feeling the cost of living rise a crisis. We are particularly worried about the poorest households since they are they spend a larger share of income on food and energy. So they are particularly vulnerable to the price spike, the senior economist at the World Bank added. Energy prices are set to increase more than 50%, pushing up bills for households and businesses, according to the World Bank. Similarly, oil prices are expected to remain elevated into 2024, with a barrel of the benchmark measure Brent crude projected to average $100 this year, something which will lead to widespread inflation. Russia produces about 11% of the world's oil and the third biggest share, but the report said that disruptions resulting from the war are expected to have a lasting negative effect, as sanctions mean that foreign companies leave and access to technology is reduced. Then Russia currently provides 40% of EU's gas and 27% of its oil. But European governments are moving to wean their countries off the supplies from Russia. That has helped push to global prices by creating more demand for supplies from elsewhere. Wheat is also set for record highs. According to the World Bank, the commodity outlook has also warned many foods are set to see steep prices rises in their costs. The UN Food Prices Index already shows they are at the highest since records began 60 years ago. Wheat is forecasted to increase 42.7% and reach new record highs in dollar terms. Other notable increases will be 33.3% for barley, 20% for soybeans, 29.8% for oils, and 41.8% for chicken. These increases reflect the fact that exports from Ukraine and Russia have fallen drastically. Before the war, the two countries accounted for 28.9% of global wheat exports, according to JP Morgan, and 60% of the global sunflower supplies, a key ingredient in many processed foods, according to S&P Global. Prices for new other raw materials, include fertilizers, metals, and minerals, are also predicted to go up. The cost of timber, tea, and rice are among the few expected to fall. And then wheat is one of the hardest agriculture exports to replace, according to a research note from the Bank of America. It points out that poor weather conditions in North America and China are likely to exacerbate the impact of Ukraine supplies being reduced, something which will continue because the war has disrupted the spring planting season. The note also suggests grain and oilseed shipments from Ukraine have fallen more than 80% because of the fighting, and these lost exports, over the course of a year, equate to more than 10 days of world food supply. That's serious. The chief executive of Archer Daniels Midland, one of the world's four big food commodity traders, said he does not expect prices to come down soon. As the U.S. firm announced a 53% increase in net earnings for the first 3 months of this year to $1.05 billion, Joanna Luciano said, "We expect reduced crop supplies caused by the weak Canadian canola crop and the short South American crops and now disruption in the Black Sea region to drive continued tightness in global grain markets for the next few years." And see, that's what all the experts' reports are pointing to 2023 and beyond 2024. That's really worrying. So, they are painting a picture that the food crisis that has started and is going to get worse is running way beyond 2023, 2022 and beyond. And see, this one, they are talking 2024. And that's serious. Mr. Nagel from the World Bank said other countries can help solve the supply shortage caused by Ukraine's war in the medium term. However, a forecast 69% increase in fertilizer prices this year means there is a real risk that as farmers start to use fewer fertilizers, agricultural yields will decline. And that's the case Ghana is going to face this year. The high cost of fertilizer, so farmers can't afford highest expensive fertilizer. The few they can buy, they cannot grow that much. So clearly, we are going to have low yield this year. And this problem started last year. Last year's yield was not as expected because of fertilizer pricing and shortage. And this year is even worse. So the issue in the case of Ghana, we are going to have low yield, and then we are heavily dependent on imports, and it's also no good out there. So that's where the, and then the dollar too compounds it for imported things. So you can see the situation we find ourselves as a country. And the reports, the next one, this is African Development Bank. So the, what I just read was World Bank. Now African Development Bank is also saying this one. The headline says Africa must prepare for a global food crisis. Adesina, and that's Adesina is the head of African Development Bank. So he says Africa must prepare for the inevitability of global food crisis. He was speaking about Africa's priorities as a guest at Atlantic Council's Africa Center on Friday, fielding questions from the Council's Africa Center chair, Ambassador Rama Yade, a senior fellow at Aubrey, and then the Washington UN DC correspondent for June Afrique and the Africa Report, Julien Pequet. The bank chief called for an increased sense of urgency amid what he described as once-in-a-century convergence of global challenges for Africa. According to Adesina, the continent's most vulnerable countries have been hit hardest by conflict, climate change, and COVID-19 pandemic, which had upended economic and development progress in Africa. He said Africa will, with the lower GDP growth rate, had lost as many as 30 million jobs on account of the pandemic. Speaking about the impact of the Russian-Ukraine war, Adesina expressed sympathy for the people of Ukraine, describing their suffering as unimaginable. He said the war's ramifications spread far beyond Ukraine to other parts of the world, including Africa. He explained that Russia and Ukraine supply 30% of the global wheat exports, and the price, which has surged by almost 50% globally, reaching identical levels as during the 2008 food crisis, global food crisis. He added that fertilizer prices had tripled and energy prices had increased, all fueling inflation. And this is now warned that the tripling costs of fertilizer, rising energy prices, and rising food baskets could worsen in Africa in the coming months. He noted that 90% of Russia's 4 billion exports to Africa in 2020 was made up of wheat, and 48% of Ukraine's near 3 billion exports to the continent was made up of wheat, and 31% of maize. Adesina cautioned that to fend off a food crisis, Africa must rapidly expand its food production. The African Development Bank is already active in mitigating the effects of the food crisis through the African Food Crisis Response and Emergency Facility, a dedicated facility being considered by the bank to provide African countries with resources needed to raise local food production and procure fertilizer. So, you know, I mean, it's first World Bank, then ADB, African Development Bank, then Goya CEO. Goya is one of the big food producing companies in the U.S. Goya CEO warns world on the brink of food crisis. So Goya Food CEO Bob Unanue warned on Tuesday that the world is on the brink of a food crisis. Speaking on Morning with Maria on Fox, he also argued that the world has weaponized food. The world has weaponized food. That's a very strong statement. We are on the precipice of a global food crisis, the CEO told host Maria Batizomo. And then goes on to say that inflation accelerated to a new four-decade high, and on and on and on. Give the statistics and all. You see, so the signals are there. But then this week, Indonesia gave a news, and that has shaken the system even more. Indonesia's planned cooking oil export ban sends global prices of edible oils soaring. So the world's top palm oil producer, Indonesia, announced that it would ban exports of the commodity starting on Thursday that passed. So sending the prices of edible oils even soaring higher. Indonesia accounts for about half of the world's supply of palm oil, the world's most widely used vegetable oil. Palm oil is used for cooking and for production of thousands of consumer products, including biscuits, detergents, and lipsticks, and others. Hey, lipstick, I don't know. Interesting. In a video statement on Friday, Indonesian President Joko Widodo said the move was designed to bring down domestic palm oil prices and ensure domestic food availability in the wake of global food inflation. I will monitor and evaluate the implementation of this policy so availability of cooking oil in the domestic market becomes abundant and affordable, unquote. According to the president and a Reuters translation report, the move comes as Indonesia has seen recent protests over the high prices of cooking oil, with retail prices gaining more than 40% so far this year. So the ban is expected to be in place until further notice. Indonesian palm oil exports were worth about $30 billion in 2021. The data provided by Statista showed. So Sri Indrawali, Indonesia's finance minister, told Reuters on Friday that the palm oil ban would hurt other countries, but it was necessary to contain the soaring domestic prices of cooking oil. Benchmark crude palm oil futures on the Bursa Malaysia exchange jumped much as 7% on Monday morning, and they were up over 40% year to date. So prices of alternative vegetable oils also spiked in response to the impending ban on palm oil exports in Indonesia. Benchmark Chicago soybean oil prices hit their highest level since 2008, according to Reuters. Prices of edible oil, including palm oil, have been rising because of the war in Ukraine, as the country is a large sunflower oil exporter. Edible oils are often interchangeable, as a shortage of one type exerts pressure on the other. So, according to Grow Intelligence, a global agricultural data analysis firm, that's what they wrote in April 23rd. And gains in vegetable oil prices are outpacing overall food price increases. And Grow Intelligence wrote in the report, U.S. prices of a basket of common vegetable oils are up 41% this year, whilst food prices are up 25% on the year. Indonesia's ban on exports is likely to further fuel global food inflation, according to the firm. You know, countries are now looking at food security for their citizens. So it's like, protect your citizens first before you consider exports. And I did some checks yesterday and I saw other countries have also started placing bans on other food issues, food crops. So this is where the challenge is. So in a country, any country that depends on imported things alone, largely, is going to be in serious trouble in the times ahead, because everybody is now thinking of home first, your citizens first, before export. So that's where the problem is. And this is the world we are in. At least you know, so that you know what to do. Okay, so atheist activist demands that Florida school districts ban the Bible for being dangerous and obscene. A liberal activist who sells sex toys online is getting national attention for calling on Florida's public schools to ban and even ban the Holy Bible over what he says are obscene and harmful passages. Shaz Stevens of Deerfield Beach, Florida, wrote letters to superintendents in Miami-Dade County public schools and other school districts throughout the state, asking them to immediately remove the Bible from the classroom, library, and any instructional material in their schools. The campaign comes weeks after Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed House Bill 1467, allowing Florida residents to request the removal of books they find objectionable from school classrooms and libraries. Critics have alleged that the measure stifles the free speech rights of students and faculty on LGBT issues and other matters. Oh, but this one for Florida is not going to succeed because they are a pro-Republican and pro-Bible state, so his efforts, but it shows the hatred. It's there, it's real. The hatred for the word of God is real out there. There are people who really hate it, and they wish Bibles are banned, Christians are silenced, and Christians are even outlawed from the society. And these are the realities. There are people who wish, is actually, that's the wish for these globalists and the wish for these liberals. They just hate Christians to the core. They wish Christians don't exist. So that can give you an idea as to the times ahead when the system becomes more anti-godly, the persecution. So this is where all the persecution will arise from, the hatred for God. So that means then the hatred for his followers. And then Disney is in the news again. I mean, now they are never in the news for any good reason. It's all bad. And I keep saying don't allow your children to watch Disney channels. I mean, seriously, don't allow them. It's Disney is not the Disney years back that we knew. Disney is now a liberal LGBT pro. I mean, they are fully for it. They don't hide it. I've been reading reports the last few weeks here, what their bosses are saying in private meetings that leaks, and openly what they are doing in Florida. I mean, with the governor regarding the bill protecting children, they hate the children being protected against LGBT. I mean, how can this be a children's channel? They want the children to be polluted and destroyed. They want the children to be contaminated, and that is their ultimate goal now. So I just can't get why and how a Christian parent, unless you don't know what is happening, but if you listen and you listen to this program and you know what Disney is all about, don't let your children have access to Disney channels. Please protect them. Disney. And then Pixar's Lightyear is a cartoon, sees same-sex kiss restored amid controversy with queer character. So Lightyear was a cartoon character. The same-sex kiss scene was removed from it, but they restored it back. I mean, can you imagine that? So a first look at Disney and Pixar's Lightyear on Wednesday confirmed the same-sex kiss had been restored following recent controversy. The kiss occurred in the first 30 minutes of the movie, which was shown to an audience Wednesday at CinemaCon, according to USA Today. The kiss was reportedly removed and then reinstated after backlash over the lack of response from Disney over Florida's Don't Say Gay bill. The bill bars instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in kindergarten through to third grade. The moment occurs, that's the kiss moment, occurs between the character Alicia Health Home, and then their and her partner in the animated movie or film. The Lightyear character isn't the first LGBTQ-oriented character in a Pixar film. The most prominent character is a Cyclops police officer named Spectre, featured in animated film Onward. At one point in the film, the character says, "It's not easy being a new parent. My girlfriend's daughter got me pulling my hair out, okay?" You see, so that was a girl-to-girl thing. And they put it in for children to watch. And the restoration of same-sex kiss comes after employees of Pixar accused Disney of censoring same-sex affection in Pixar films. Disney executives have wanted to cut nearly every moment of an overtly gay affection, regardless of when there is a protest from both the creative teams and executive leadership at Pixar, according to a letter from the employees sent to Disney and obtained by Variety. "We at Pixar have personally witnessed beautiful stories full of diverse characters come back from Disney corporate reviews shaved down to crumbs of what they once were," the letter read. "Even if creating LGBTQIA plus content was the answer to fixing the discriminatory legislation in the world, we are being barred from creating it." So they put pressure on Disney to reinstate the scene, and they approved it. And this is out there for children to watch. Please protect your children. I'll be back. This is Issues of Life. And let's listen to the song.
Look up, yeah. These are the end of days, what the Bible says about the day of the Lord. And the whole world shake with the big earthquake when he returns. Could be a nuclear war, what the prophet saw, till you wonder where your help come from. Look up, your redemption draw near. Come the man of peace, come the mark of the beast, the tribulation. Don't you be surprised when the Antichrist gives a deception. And you see nation rise against nation, abomination of the desolation. Look up your redemption journey, where he draws near. He will wipe away your tears when he draws near. He'll give you faith, kick all your fears, and you will know. Says, look up, your redemption draws near. Redemption draws near.
Hey, Bob, you want to turn down the stereo? I'm going to go to my room and pray for a while.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, Lord, all I want to do is please you. Just let me know what it is you would have me do, Lord.
Hey, Frank, Ed's here and he needs some old clothes for the mission. You want to give him your old leather jacket?
No way, I can get $20 for that easy.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Lord, your will is all I want. Just lead me and I will follow.
Ed's also helping with the food drive at church, wants to know if you can help.
Hey, stacking lima beans all weekend is not my idea of excitement.
Okay, I'll tell him you'll be busy.
Fine. Oh, Lord, I just want to do great things for you.
Hey, Frank, Dugan just called. He got kicked out of his dorm and needs a place to stay. Can he stay here for the night?
No way, man. Dugan's a hog. Tell him to call Ed.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, anything you want, just tell me.
Prayer. It's more than just talking to God. Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
All right, everyone, calm down now. What kind of bomb do we have in there?
It looks like a Delta IV design, sir, using a Class 5 explosive.
Have you evacuated the area?
10 city blocks, sir.
We'd better deactivate this bomb immediately. How much time do we have?
We can't tell. The timer has no display.
What? Really?
Yes, that bomb could go off any second.
Well, yeah, that's true, but on the same token, it could take days for that bomb to go off.
Well, yeah.
I wish you would have told me that on the phone. I could have finished my dinner.
I'm sorry, sir, but I thought we should deal with this right away.
No, let's go home, get a good night's sleep, and come back tomorrow.
Sir, we don't know when that bomb will explode.
I'll deal with it later.
Many people have this same attitude towards their own death. We don't know when we will die. Jesus spent more time warning us about hell than he did telling us about heaven. Do you know where you will spend eternity?
Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Beautiful. Very serious question there. Okay, so welcome back to Issues of Life. This is Eben, and we just went through some of the news, some of the reports, and that's the state of the world being painted for us to see. But as believers, we just have to look at what's in the Word of God. And let me read. It's a popular scripture many, many, many times. Christians talk and read and read and read and read. But let me just read a portion of it. Then we proceed from there. Matthew 24, verse 6. Yeah, let me read from verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. We are hearing it. And wars and rumors of wars, threats from here, threats from there. See that ye be not troubled. This is the assurance and the caution that Jesus gave after giving the warning or the prophecy that there will be wars and rumors of wars before he comes. But see that ye be not troubled. The fact is, when you hear these things, there is a likelihood that you can be troubled. What is coming upon the world? What are we going to do? I mean, questions will run through your minds. If this, then what? If this, then what? If this, then what? Like, all the worrying signals will be passing through your mind and all. But Jesus gives us the caution. See that ye be not troubled. That means we have the ability to ensure that we are not troubled. We have to ensure that we are not troubled. Nobody can control your feelings, but you can be advised, you can be admonished, you can be encouraged, but ultimately, you are the one who decides to be troubled or not to be troubled. So in spite of all the things we are hearing, the wars, the rumors of wars, the this, the that, the this, the that, we have to make the final decision. Am I going to be troubled or I refuse to be troubled? It's a choice, a two-way option, either or. So it's either you allow yourself to be troubled or you refuse to be troubled. So it doesn't matter what we hear. Putin can do his worst. He can do all that he wants. They can fire their... I mean, the good thing in Africa is these nuclear things will not pass by us. So we are safe down here. But they can do their own firing out there and do whatever they want to do. But we will not be troubled. We have to decide not to be troubled. You see, earlier in the year, I started talking about the fear issue of resisting, ensuring that we were not going to be afraid, because I knew by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit was directing me that I should address those issues because, and I said it a few times, that the year is going to be a very turbulent year. We are going to hear things, we are going to see things. But it's important we address the issue of fear ahead of time, before they start, so that when we begin to see the things, whilst others are afraid, we will not be afraid, because we know what the Word of God has assured us of. We know what the Word of God has said. So things are not going to go down. I've been saying the world is not going to get better. It's like better as we know the world, the good old days, not too far, just even pre-COVID. We are not going to get there, where the world as we knew it was calm, quote unquote calm. It's never been too calm though, but at least before the whole mess we are seeing now and all that, we are not going before that era. We are in a point where we just move from one level to another level, like going higher and further into worsening states of the world and all. So let's be assured of, let's know that is the state, that is what the Word of God has said will happen. But then, in the midst of all this, there is a God who is in control, who, it doesn't matter the situation, it doesn't matter the chaos, He is in control and He manages and controls the affairs of men. So, in the midst of the confusion and the fears and the worries, what we have to be doing now is to align ourselves with God and ensure that we have a good relationship with God. That is the safest thing we can do. That is the wisest thing we can do. Because with what is coming in the world, what is happening, and what is even ahead, our government cannot help us. That one is a fact. This one, we don't need any rocket scientist to tell you that governments cannot help their citizens. Some governments may do something a little, but we know our situation already. Before the war came, crash, like we know our situation. And now the war has come. The food situation, inflation, all these things. So when you know your situation, then you know that you have to look up to somewhere else for help. And as believers, the only hope we can have, the only source of our hope, is to lift up our eyes to the hills, for whence cometh our help. Psalm 121. So we have to refocus. In the midst of all that is happening, we should refocus well onto God, and then rather deepen our faith in Him, strengthen ourselves in Him, because He is the one who can help us. He is the one who can deliver us. He is the one who can provide for us. You see, because these are things which virtually is beyond the remit of most governments. We can't really do anything about it. We can't stop it. This war in Ukraine and Russia, we can't do anything about it. We can't do anything. So what can we do? We can only look up to God to help us in the midst of all that is happening, for help and direction and for wisdom and for provision and for protection and all. Because this is the report that I read. There are just a few of other reports out there, and they all paint the same type of picture. And so you ask yourself that if this thing prolongs far longer than even a month is an issue, then now the reports are painting a picture of it going beyond even 2022 and into 2023, and the World Bank even quotes 2024. Then it tells you the world is in a very long, rough ride. But in all that, God is still in control. Yes, because you see, we can allow ourselves to fear, or we can allow ourselves to walk by faith. And that is the encouraging thing that we should start building our faith towards. You know, these are, you can see the storms are coming. You don't wait for the storms to come before you start building your faith. Now is the time to start building your faith. You don't wait, because now it's obvious. That's what, I mean, I was having a chat with a friend yesterday and then another one today. And I was telling them, you see, with the level we've reached now, nothing will stop what is coming. Because, like, the problem predates this year. The problem started last year. For listeners who have been listening to this program, I started talking about what is coming from last year, August. The food reports, I was reading the UN reports from last year, August, talking about this. And so the signals were there already. And so even if the war didn't come, the impact would have been minimized, but it was still going to come. But the impact wouldn't have been as we are seeing and we are going to see. So the harm has been caused already from last year. And from all indications, this war is not something which Putin is ready to just say, I give up. Let me just come back. No. It will be too embarrassing to just back down like that. So it's more like it's going to go on for a longer period. And what they intend to do, what they are trying to do now in the southeastern Ukraine and towards the south, is Russia wants to cut Ukraine. See, their sea is on the southern part, and access to the sea, their sea coast. So they want to cut Ukraine off so that Ukraine becomes a landlocked country. Then they can't have access to the sea to export things. That's what Russia is trying to do. So the state of the war now, that's the agenda, to try and cut Ukraine off the sea, the coast. So that means their harbor and all. And Ukraine is a major exporting country. So this whole thing is designed to really worsen the world situation. And so if you understand these things from this angle, then as a believer, you know how to channel your prayers. You know how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Because see, at least it's fortunate to know. You know what is coming. You know ahead of time. But you should do something about it. You just can't say, oh, well, let's sit and wait and see. This is not about wait and see issue. This is about waiting on, building yourself ahead of time, trusting in the Lord, growing in the Lord, deepening your faith in Him, strengthening your relationship with Him, because He is the only one who can take us through the season that we've entered. Oh yeah. I mean, men, the help from men may be limited. The help from man will be limited. But God is God. Let me just read this verse. Psalm 121. All right. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He didn't say from some evil. He didn't say from most evil. He says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, without exception, including Ukrainian-Russian war, including food crisis, including shortages, including, He will preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Such an assuring passage that we have a God who is in control. We have a God who is in control. You see, It's one thing saying you know God, and it's one thing living as someone who knows God. There are a lot of people who say they know God. I mean, but when situations arise, then it's like they begin to question God, you know, this God cry, or then they backslide, they leave the faith and all. So just saying you know God is the easiest thing. Anyone can say it. So that one is not a big deal. But to live as someone who knows God is at another level. And that is where we should push ourselves to the point where we know God, not by just by saying it, but by living it, by faith, living our lives that we know God, trusting in Him. You see, so if we know God, and we know we are going to depend on Him, we are not going to need Him, it should reflect in our lifestyle, it should reflect in our communication with Him. That means prayer, meditating on the Word of God, building up our faith, living right, living holy. All these things come together as a package. Because you can't say you know God, you are trusting in God, you are depending on God, and yet you live carelessly, you live as if there is no God. You live with no regard to God's word. You live as if, I mean, you have no respect for God. It doesn't work that way. So in looking up to God, it also requires that we live right. Because these are not the times that we can just be playing with sin and expect God to guide us, God to protect us, God to provide for us. I mean, see, we have to understand that we can't just play by our own rules and then run to God and expect Him to perform miracles in our lives. It doesn't work that way. If we are believers, let us be believers. These are no times for wishy-washy, you are here, you are there. No. We are in the season where it is strictly for people who are living right, living holy lives, living with God, like a righteous life, living daily, lives that please the Lord and all. We should re-examine ourselves, assess ourselves, I mean, and all that. And yeah, you can send your messages to 0244-638-757, 0244-638-757, SMS and WhatsApp. And yeah, so people have started sending. So we should understand these things, that we cannot have things according to our own standards, and then at the end of the day, we will just run back to God again. In that case, we are just playing games with Him, and it doesn't work that way. You see, if, for instance, you look at Psalm 91, the conditions are there. But sometimes people just quote out of context the blessings and the promises, and then leave out the conditions. But there are conditions. You just can't have the promises and then ignore the conditions and then say that, well, as for you, there's only the promises that you want, so the conditions will not abide by it. No. It's like a contract, a binding contract. You do your part, I do my part. Now, God expects us to do our part. We say, no, we will not do our part, but we want you, God, to do your part. It can't work that way. No, it can't work that way. So when He says, let me just, Psalm 91, a quick one, just to give you an understanding of what I'm talking about. Psalm 91, yeah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, then that's one condition. Then the rest, there were two, I will say of the Lord, and then the other, surely He shall deliver me, and all that. Then we go to then verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Then verse 14 is another one. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. You see, so these are the conditions in Psalm 91. So if you say you ignore these three conditions, these three verses, which are the conditions, but expect that he shall call upon me and I'll answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, I'll deliver him and honor him, With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You expect this promise, but the condition that precedes the promise, you say, no, I will not. 1,000 shall fall by my side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Yes, we gladly quote this one, but ignore the condition that comes before these promises. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is the condition. So if you say, no, as for me, I will not have time for God. I will not dwell in a secret place. I will not pray. I will not read his word. I will not meditate. I will not, like, I don't have time for God. But yet you are running and jumping and quoting, 1,000 shall fall by thy side and 10,000. No. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So let's get it right that if you are depending on God, then ensure that you are doing it the right way. Not just by saying promises that are written in the word of God, but refusing to adhere to the conditions that comes with the promises. Because we just can't play God. It's just like you are just playing games with him. You take what you want, and then what he wants, you just ignore him. No. Even human beings will not, most human beings won't allow that, will not do that, and much more. You see, because he has spoken in his word, clearly written, do this, I will do that. Do A, I will do B. You say, no, me, I will not do any A, but I want my B. I'm insisting on my B, it's my right. No. We can't play that game with God. No. So let's renew our minds and then condition our minds, encourage ourselves that we are going to do right, we are going to live right, we are going to improve on our relationship with God, we are going to live according to his word. Ultimately, that is what should be our target. That should be what we should driving at. We should be driving at, because these are the times that we need God, and we are going to need God more than ever before. It's very important. We are going to need him more than ever before, because the season that we've entered is something else. You know, sometimes when I talk to some friends, and you know, people can't really imagine what is coming. Yeah, people can't imagine it. But I remember I've shared with you before, two or three times, about that flash vision that I got one morning, and it's like a train coming. A train is coming on a rail line, so we see the engine first, and then the coaches are following, and then the voice said that it's like that's how things are coming. There were one trouble after the other. So it's like, you know, the engine is coming, the engine passes the coach, shum, 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 shum. It's like that's the state of the world. That's how things are coming, will be coming onto the world. One problem after the other. That's exactly how things are playing out. That's how things are playing out. So we are in a different situation. We are in a new world. There are new world order that they are working on. That's the beginning, early stages of it is what we are seeing. The Great Reset, as they call it, is the same thing as the new world order. I spoke about it 2 or 3 weeks ago. You can listen to it online, spiritissues.info. But that's the world we are in. This whole thing we are seeing, they are just reorganizing things, preparing for the Antichrist system. That's it, believe it or not, that's what is happening. Believe it or not, that's exactly what is happening. They are reorganizing the world, preparing it for the Antichrist system. So the Great Reset, the New World Order, it's all the same thing. It's the Antichrist system that is being talked about. And see, this thing started from the COVID. So that's where they said the COVID, Professor Schwab, the World Economic Forum president, he said that, the COVID presents the perfect opportunity to reset the world. And other leaders make similar statements, building back better. And so it's an opportunity which they are not letting it go waste. And indeed, they started the reset with the COVID. And that's exactly the after effects of the COVID, I mean, the supply chain crisis, the food crisis started also as is one of the sources of the problems, offshoots of it. So this whole thing is a system we are in. Some people sit down and then look at it, the state of the world, and they are excited because it's going according to their plans. Yeah, that's how evil the world is. They know what they are doing. They know. But you and I shouldn't be caught off guard. The word of God told us these things ahead of what they are doing. So God is in control. All that they are doing, God is in control. Yes. So we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be worried. We should put our trust in God. We should put our trust in God. At the end of the day, men are men, but there is God who rules in the affairs of men. So I would rather trust in the God who rules in the affairs of men than to put my trust in men, mere men. The God who rules in the affairs of men, I would rather put my trust in him, because he controls all. He is in control of all that we are seeing and what is happening. Yes, men are doing their own things. They are playing their own games. But their games are aligning exactly with the word of God. So God is just watching and laughing. But at the end of the day, Christ wins. And that is the confidence that we have in the word of God. Let's not feel discouraged. Let's not beat ourselves down. We shouldn't allow fear to dominate our lives. You see, it's a choice, as I said earlier, but we have to continue. You see, you just don't say, today I'm not afraid, and then forever you are not afraid. No. There'll always be the temptation to be afraid will be coming. You'll be seeing other things which will draw you to, you know, that will try to weaken your faith. So it's a competitive thing. It's like faith is competing with fear. Fear is always trying to knock the door. Yeah, be afraid of this, be afraid of that. And then you have to resist. No, I'll not be afraid. So it's not like, oh, one day decision. No, 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 no. It's going to be a recurring. We are going to find ourselves in situations where it's like, you have to decide, I'm not afraid. The next day, you have to decide, I'm not afraid. You see, that's how it's going to be. Because we'll be seeing and hearing things all the time. And you'll be hearing things that would drive fear into you. But you have to resist that, I will not be afraid. That is very critical. And at the end of the day, it's Christ who we should put our trust in. Ultimately, that's the important thing. That's the best thing we can do. So this evening, interestingly, see, the way God does his things is something else. You know, my assignment today changed when I got to the studio. You know, the Holy Spirit can just do things, and that's exactly what happened tonight. And so let's get encouraged. Let's get encouraged. Let me finish with this Victoria Rinze song says it all. That will not be afraid. So I'm Eben. The file will be uploaded to spiritissues.info. You can get it in the Telegram group as well. Good night, and God bless you.
Go full of faith. No fear. I know they fear. No fear. Don't be afraid. No fear. I know they fear. I refuse to be afraid. For those of you in Canada that don't understand, I know they fear means I won't fear. I know they fear. Those of you around the world that don't understand, I know they fear. I no go fear. It means I won't fear. I refuse to fear. Do you understand me? So make this your declaration in this new year, in 2022. Make it your declaration. Say it over yourself again and again. Good things are coming to you. Bad news are not coming to you. Things are not coming to you. Your portion you will receive. What is yours you will have. What belongs to you you will get. No man will take your portion. No man will take what belongs to you. The Lord will preserve what belongs to you. This year you will lead many to Jesus. This year you will know Jesus more and you will lead many to Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This year, Lord, you go ahead of us. This year, you are aligning everything. This year, things are falling in place for us. This year, all the land will yield for us. This year, Lord, you go ahead of us. This year, you are aligning everything. This year, things are falling in place for us. This year, all the land will yield for us. So I